Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 181. My name is John. I dare you to move. I dare you to lift yourself up off the floor. It was earlier this week on Monday. My wife and I were chatting at breakfast when she looked out the window to our backyard and said, "Is that what I think it is?" Before I could get over to see what she was looking at, she said, "Oh no, is that thing stuck?" I looked out the window to see the back half of a possum struggling to get underneath the fence between us and our neighbor. He would squirm for a moment and then pause, seemingly to catch his breath before trying again. He went back and forth, trying to push his way through, then trying to back his way out, to no avail. My wife had to get to work, and I needed to make a trip to the store, so we headed out. As we got to our cars, we talked about the possum. I was sure that by the time I got home, he would have freed himself, while my wife was sure that he would still be stuck. A little less than an hour later, I got home and discovered my wife had won the bet. By the way, possums are good pest control. They eat insects, ticks, snakes, and dead animals, so we tolerate their presence because it's beneficial. I went outside to get a better look. That dumb little possum was still stuck underneath the fence. And I say little possum. He may have been small in comparison to me, but he was by no means little. He was one of the larger ones I've seen. And he was a bit of a pudgy sucker for a possum. Maybe he just had a really good night of foraging and had a full belly. I approached cautiously. I didn't want to get too close to him unless he was able to free himself and he freaked out and tried to attack me. I got as close as I could, and I saw that he was stuck in there pretty badly. He got himself caught between two pickets of the fence. The corners of each were digging into his neck, and I could see a wound forming on one side. I went to the garage and got a shovel and tried to dig a little underneath him, or at least pull some dirt out on the side to enable him to free himself. But I soon realized why I couldn't do that. There was solid rock just a couple of inches below the fence line where he was digging. I realized the only way to free the poor little bastard was to loosen one or both of the pickets from the fence. I went back to the garage, got my toolbox, but I didn't have the proper screwdriver to fit the Torx screws that were used in the fence construction. So I went next door to my neighbor, and I think I've mentioned here before, we have some of the best neighbors you could possibly want to have. Those kind of people that are super sweet, interact with you just enough to where you enjoy their company, but not so much that no one ever overstays their welcome, so to speak. We'll bake treats for each other, watch each other's houses. We've lived next to each other for nearly a quarter of a century, and we couldn't have asked for anyone better. My neighbor has accumulated all kinds of tools over the years, even long before we had our houses built next to each other. So I figured if anybody would have a Torx screwdriver, it would be him. It only took him a minute. He didn't have the right screwdriver for me to manually remove the picket. He had a bit for his electric drill, which made it so much easier. I went back and first tried to just loosen the bottom screws to allow me to pry the wood back enough for the possum to get loose, but it didn't work. I ended up having to take off one of the pickets entirely in order to give him room to get his fat head out from underneath the fence. And now that he had the room to get out of the way, I tried to get him to move, but he wouldn't do it. I brought a little mandarin orange with me that was getting kind of old, and I set it close to him to try to coax him up and out of his predicament, but he still wouldn't move. Of course, he was scared, and he was doing what his species does when he's scared. He was playing possum. I walked away to the back door of the house and stood there and watched to see if he would get up. But still, the possum just wouldn't move. I went back inside and texted an update to my wife because she wanted to know what was going on, letting her know that he was finally free and just waiting for him to leave so I could put the picket back up. Throughout all this time, the possum didn't move. He was still breathing, of course, and he would make small little movements, so I thought, well, maybe he's just weak. He had been struggling a lot, and I could see where he was bleeding a little bit from where the fence had dug into his neck, and well, maybe the poor critter's just a little traumatized. I kept looking out the window every few minutes, and maybe about a half an hour later, I looked, and he was finally gone. I went back outside, fastened the picket back onto the fence, and returned the tools to my neighbor. And ironically, as my neighbor and I were talking out in front of his garage, that big old possum waddled his way across the next neighbor's front yard and disappeared around the side past the garbage bin. So, how did you spend your Monday morning? I got to thinking about that poor old possum, and I gotta say, I kind of relate to what it's going through. I haven't mentioned this in the podcast yet, so let me tell you about what's been going on in my life for the past several months. I am unemployed, and I have been since July of last year. Now, this is not a woe is me, I lost my job kind of thing. It's my fault. I was reckless and impetuous, and I walked out on the job that I had. I'm at the point where I have been doing the same low-level or entry-level job basically for half my life. And in the past, whenever I started getting ahead at a job, something would happen. First, it was the financial crisis of 2009, which I've talked about a few times in past podcasts. Then it was COVID. I was continually starting over at the same position or same type of position and feeling like my life was going nowhere. A couple of years ago, I started this new job in a completely new field from what I've done in the past. So I was learning from scratch about a business. There was only so far that I could go without doing some major licensing. And that involved doing a lot of work that would take time away from my wife, which she doesn't like when I do that, and force me to assume legal responsibilities that would require both me and my wife to make some changes in our personal matters. So I decided to forego the licensing for the time being, perhaps revisit it later if I felt it was worthwhile, and focus on learning the basics of this new job, because there were still opportunities that I could avail myself of even without getting the licenses. Now, many of you may be familiar with this because it's a pretty common story in today's world. The job started out very promising. At first. And it looked like there were avenues that I could explore to get to a position that I felt comfortable in, one that I wanted, and made that desire extremely clear to each of the half dozen managers that I had in the first few months of being there. It was a position that my skills were well suited for, and I would no longer do what I had been doing again for half my life. It looked like I was on a strong path to get there. But after a while, I started noticing the same bullshit that I saw in every other place I have ever worked. The same empty promises from managers, the same empty rhetoric from upper management, the same excuses to explain why, even though another manager's underperforming daughter got the position, the real reason I wasn't chosen was because I was needed where I was. But maybe in a few more months, maybe they could do something. Coupled with this was a major turnover in several key management positions. The new upper management people that came in had a very intense micromanagement philosophy, wanting justification down to the minute of every choice made by employees. This is not, give me five things you did last week. This is, explain in detail what you were doing while away from your desk for a total of 20 minutes over the past week. It's worse than anything I've ever seen before, and I've dealt with some pretty bad micromanagers. They made massive staff cuts. Now, the business had a very clear busy season, and the new management made absolutely no attempt to bring in additional people to handle the volume. There were times when over 100 customers who were on deadlines would be waiting for assistance. Readily available service and quick processing for requests was vital. The company knew it and chose to do nothing about it. They eventually hired a few people, but it was at the last possible moment, and it was a mere fraction of what was needed, and they were still cutting other jobs on the side. So, not only were we severely underservicing clients, we were creating hundreds of angry people a day. One told me directly that he was cutting all ties with them because the company clearly did not care about its clients. I wasn't the only one upset with the way things were being handled. Several other people had chosen to quit before me. Most of them gave their 2 weeks notice and then went on their way. Some, however, just up and left. I was getting more and more frustrated because they were not replacing the few people that were leaving. In a candid discussion with a manager, I learned the new upper management people were purposely trying to make things as difficult as possible because they wanted to, get this, find the bare minimum required to handle the business. Now remember, we're already overwhelmed with work. We are months behind on requests that were only supposed to take days. We were far below the bare minimum required. But at the expense of customer service, they were willing to let employees go and run the remaining employees into the ground and purposely heap stressful situations on them because they did not know what they needed to handle their business. It screamed ineptitude. I felt the company was on the brink of failure. I felt like I was on the Titanic and they wanted me to play their song instead of getting into a lifeboat. I was already burned out to begin with, but just growing more and more frustrated over those last few months. I did not like the company's philosophy. I did not like the company's culture. I saw every warning sign in my past experience that I had no future there. Of course, my wife didn't want me to leave unless I had another job. The problem is, when you're working regular hours Monday through Friday, it's hard to be able to schedule time for job interviews, even though these days most companies do their best to try to accommodate you. But even with that, what kind of job should I look for? Why would I just jump into another similar job to the one that I have now? And even with the potential search for a new job, I still had to endure the current job. The stress was taking its toll. I had done a pretty good job of losing weight in the COVID years, because during that time, I started trying to take better care of myself, exercising more, eating better. I was wearing clothes that I had not been able to fit in for years. But after about a year of working there, I lost my motivation to go to the gym and go out for walks. I was giving in to every excuse not to exercise and to eat things I know I shouldn't. I was putting weight back on. I was beginning to feel pain again in my joints. Then I got this tightness in my neck that developed into a chronic pain lasting for nearly a year. That got so bad, I could barely sleep at night and could only turn my head about 20 degrees in either direction. I was losing my patience with people. I was becoming more argumentative with my wife. I was constantly tired every day, and work was a drudge. I would walk to the entrance of the building, stand outside, staring at the doors, and wonder, why am I even bothering to go inside? And hating myself when I did. Then one day, I just couldn't take another minute. I'm not going to go into the details of what finally happened, because I really don't want to talk about it. I'm not proud of myself. Suffice it to say, I just picked up all my personal items from my desk, said I quit, and walked out the door. The last thing I did was leave my entry badge with the security guard at the front desk, who said I am one of dozens of people who has done the same thing in recent weeks. I couldn't apologize enough to Gina, because I know I disappointed her. She's been doing a similar job for roughly as many years, but she enjoys what she does. Or at least she enjoys it more than I do. Or at least she has more patience with it, because she knows she's going to retire within 3 years. I was hoping to get back into the workforce quickly, even with maybe a temp job, but it is not working out the way I had hoped. So here I am, about 8 months later. We're not losing money, we're not in dire financial straits, but we're not building that retirement nest egg like we need to. We try to stay positive, but it's not always easy. With more time to think about things, I'm hesitant. As I mentioned earlier, I've basically done the same job for 27 years. For almost all my adult life, I've answered phones in a call center. I've done it for business travelers, for insurance, for banking services, and for investment services. back in the mid-2000s, about 7 years into my first big customer service telephone job, it was estimated I had taken over 30,000 phone calls. Over my various jobs through the years, that number is well over 100,000. I don't want to talk to people on the phone anymore. In early 2009, I finally got the promotion at work that I had been trying to get for years. I was off the phones, finally. A few months later, the company announced massive layoffs, which I've discussed at length in previous podcasts. So I had to start all over. In December of 2019, I was promised by the chief financial officer of the company that I was working for at the time that I would be given the job off the phones that I had been promised 3 years previously. I was finally gonna be off the phones. 2 months later, COVID hit. The company lost 95% of its business, and I had to start all over. This most recent job, I was told I was a perfect fit for processing off-phone requests because of my attention to detail. But every time a spot opened up, they really needed me more in my current role. So somebody else got it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of answering calls. I'm sick of talking on the phone. I'm sick of having a call come in and wondering if I'm going to be talking to somebody nice and having a pleasant conversation, or if I have to endure 30 minutes of verbal abuse for something that can be easily fixed. And I know what everybody says. You just have to let it go. You just have to brush it off. Just forget about it and go on. You should put up mental walls that don't allow anything through. Everything has its breaking point. Everyone has their breaking point. And I've hit mine. I know what I don't want to do. It's what to do next that gives me pause. The problem with having done pretty much the same thing my entire adult life is I don't know what else to do. So I'm looking at this possum that's stuck under the fence and finally finds himself free to move, and he doesn't. And I think to myself, maybe that's me. Maybe that's a lot of us. I'm free. I finally find myself free from this place where I felt stuck and hurt and frustrated. Why can't I move? Am I scared? Yeah, I think that's it. I don't know what to do. I've been doing the same job, or same type of job at any rate, for half my life, 27 years. I can do something else now. But what? I don't know. And that's where I am today. 15 years to the day that I started this podcast. I've said from the very beginning that I do this podcast with no expectation of it ever being heard. Only one person, Christian Blatt, has ever told me that he listened to an episode of my podcast. By the way, Christian, if you're listening to this one, thank you. I don't think any other podcaster ever does a podcast with that kind of expectation. But there's a reason. I started this podcast because of the first big job loss that I mentioned a moment ago, the one during the financial crisis of 2009. I started it because I was trying to figure things out. I used to be a Republican, or at least I followed the conservative philosophy. For those of you with short memory or no memory of the late aughts, after things went to shit in 2008 with the economy, the Republicans, led by George Bush, had this grand quantitative easing scheme to jumpstart the economy. And in their words, save and create new jobs. All the Republicans went on and on about how great it's gonna be. It wasn't great. The company that I worked for took $3 billion, with a B, from the government's Save and Create New Jobs quantitative easing scheme. And turned around 2 months later and laid off 11,000 people, and I was one of them. It wasn't a great idea. It was a fucking corporate boondoggle. Then, the new president came in and decided to do another round of quantitative easing. But somehow, it became the worst thing in the world to the Republicans. Maybe it's because this time around, all of the Democrat people got the corporate money instead of the Republicans. I don't know. But the conservatives went from agreeing with everything that was being done to fighting against everything that was being done, even though it was the same goddamn thing. And I began to wonder, why am I supporting these people? If quantitative easing was so goddamn great under George Bush, why is it suddenly the worst thing ever under Barack Obama? So I did what no Republican or Democrat wants the rest of us to do. I started thinking for myself. I started opening my mind to other opinions, other philosophies, other ideas. But I couldn't say that I really understood what I believed in. So that's why I started this podcast. In the early years, I would take a topic, research it, review opinions from multiple perspectives, and then start writing about it from my perspective, not what was being fed to me by some pundit or politician. I wanted to figure out what I thought about it. And writing this podcast helped me sort those thoughts out. After a while, I pretty much jumped in with the libertarian philosophy. I even joined the party for a brief period of time. But let's be honest. Libertarians are weird people even for other libertarians. Although, I actually appreciate a lot of the infighting with libertarians because it showed me that this was a group of people that did not expect everyone to just fall in lockstep with their party platform, but was open to hearing dissenting opinions and honestly debating them. That being said, I don't think any particular political party is for me. So when you listen to my podcast, especially the older episodes, you'll hear a lot of that Republican-turned-libertarian theme going through it. But even I have my limits. After several years of doing nothing but sociopolitical topics, I got fed up with talking about it. I think a good 80 to 90% of the podcasts for the past several years have been about non-political pop culture topics. Even now, I don't like talking about politics too much because, let's be honest, it's a shit show. So, as I stand at this crossroads in my life, I wonder if I should maybe try to do something with this podcast, or even create a second one to try to bring in some money. I don't ever want to get rid of this one, but maybe a second one. That would mean I'd have to start doing things to try to attract and retain followers, which I've never been comfortable doing. And I'd have to probably do more than just an audio podcast. I'd probably have to incorporate video and maybe YouTube into this. I barely know how to handle the audio portion. I'll be honest, for the first several years I did this, I would turn off all the ceiling fans and the AC and set the microphone up away from the computer because of all the ambient noise the old computer put off. I didn't know that there was a noise reduction feature in the recording program that I use. I'm going to be doing this on my own because I don't have anybody else, which means I'm going to have to learn. And I'm not even sure where to begin. And I have controversial opinions. Like, I think prostitution and all drugs should be decriminalized. But I don't want to be one of those in-your-face bros who combatively voice themselves in their presentation, fomenting an adversarial fan base with a small platoon of followers who attack anybody who tries to present a different viewpoint. See, the raging, enraging rhino came from my frustration with the duplicitous government. I have screamed and ranted and gotten pissed off, and sometimes I unfairly directed that at certain people. I want my anger directed at the people causing the problems, not at some poor sap like me who happens to have a different perspective. I don't care if somebody has a different viewpoint or philosophy. As long as they aren't trying to take away my rights, I will respect their choice to live a different way. I'm getting too old for this shit. I want respectful, relaxed discussion. I want honest dialogue without the vitriol. I want to be able to have a little fun, and even if my philosophy angers somebody, I want them to understand that I respect their viewpoint even if I don't agree with it, and I expect it the same from them. I think it's a sad state in our society today that you receive venomous hatred for simply liking something. Whether it's a maverick political idea from Washington, D.C., or a Zack Snyder movie from DC Comics. I'm a weird guy. I have niche views. I believe in small government, no taxation, and individual liberty in a time where both dominant political parties want to grow government, tax more, and slowly erode our liberties. I'm a bisexual man who's been in an ethical non-monogamous marriage for decades. I love DC Comics and Warner Brothers cartoons at a time when everybody fawns over Marvel and Disney. I will watch more Australian football this weekend alone than all the American football, baseball, and basketball that I've watched over the past 5 years combined. When I want to watch something at lunchtime or have background noise when I make dinner, I put on a stream of Mystery Science Theater 3000. I'm a sixth generation Texan and a third generation San Antonian who doesn't like country music, the Fiesta, or the Dallas Cowboys. I am not meant for the masses. And putting my face on a YouTube video? Shit, why do you think I do an audio podcast? Then again, maybe an oddball has something to offer. Maybe another oddball is needed out there. On the other hand, I do have a standing offer to go back into travel, but it's a market I've never done before. One I'd have to learn from scratch. And it's all on commission. And my wife, Gina, is adamantly against it. I could go back to another phone job, starting all over again with another company that, in all likelihood, will be the same as the other 6 previous phone jobs that I've had. Spinning my proverbial wheels with empty promises of advancement while slowly eroding my already thin patience to a point that I hope I can make it to retirement before I crack. Or maybe I'll just wrap myself in an American flag, pin a note on it that says, "Fix it," climb into a rocket and shoot myself into space, hoping alien technology has the answer. And if you get that very obscure reference, just know that you are my friend. There's a chubby old ugly possum under the fence. He's trapped. He's struggling. He's panicked. He's feeling physical pain, but even more mental and emotional distress. He can't go forward. He can't go backwards. He's confused. But now, the picket he was caught under has been removed. He's free. He just hasn't found the courage yet to get up and go. He's lying there, not quite sure what to do next. That's my soul up there. Oh, sorry. I was just wondering if this is how Sting felt when he came up with the idea to write King of Pain. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again